This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
We have actually the topic of the day, the big story.
Big story?
Up. Yeah. Yep. We got the big story.
We've relocated to a different studio here.
Yeah.
During our little production studio
that we put in.
Unplanned break. But okay. We will carry on.
Yes. Yes, we will.
20 degrees currently, high today near 40, and it's going to get windy later on today. So.
All right. Now, I hope you remember the story. We closed out the show on our old microphones, and
as we were saying,
we were listening to a cut about the Chicago Public School, raided by ICE. Katie Turr, you know, took the real headline. And I was at the end of the interview saying, we just heard from ICE, and they said that they did not come to that school after all, even though ICE turned up at an elementary school, showed proof of who they were, but then ICE itself, people at ICE said, nope, we weren't at your school.
So a case of mistaken identity or false identity?
False identity or somebody's pulling something on somebody else. I don't know. You know, it makes you almost distrust the system itself.
You think?
Right? This is a really scary thought that, you know, these teams could go out there, impersonate ICE, go into our elementary schools and pull students out. I mean, anything can happen at this point. I mean, this country is completely disabled. You know, Trump has disabled the government at this point. Can't do anything. Can't send out notifications for healthcare. Can't do anything at all. Fired people left and right. We are completely incapable of acting like a normal, everyday superpower. And now, and of course, now they're sending, you know, ICE agents out, maybe they're ICE agents out to elementary schools to clear students out.
Right.
This is incredible. This is MSNBC, Katie Tour. That's the story, and no one knows. I don't know a follow-up on this. I haven't seen a follow-up on this story about maybe ICE was unclear about who they sent out and did actually send ICE agents out to this elementary school. We don't know, all right? But it's an issue that I first heard in an interview from A.J. Biapour in Milwaukee at CBS 58. He interviewed a nominee for state school superintendent, that is Sauk Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking if he'd open up the schools if ICE agents wanted to search for undocumented kids. What a way to go, right? Attack the kids, take the kids out of the schools while the parents think their kids are safe in school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my head explodes just thinking about this thing. Yep. So if you can play cut 143 and let's listen to this is, again, a nominee for state superintendent here in Wisconsin, Jeff Wright, and his response to A.J. Biapour's interview. Let's listen.
If you're the state superintendent, what guidance would you give to schools if they're faced with ICE seeking to enter their buildings and find kids who are potentially in this country illegally?
My guidance to schools is we have to do what's right for the kids that are in our schools, and that our Supreme Court has ruled that children get access to education in America regardless of their parents' immigration status. And in part, that case, Plyler versus Doe, is because it's not a child's fault what their immigration status is. The child cannot change his or her immigration status. But also, there is a social cost to having part of our population not accessing education. And that if we're going to make sure that long-term our communities are successful, we need to make sure that all of our children get access to a quality, free education. And so it is our Supreme Court mandated responsibility to welcome children into our schools, no matter their immigration status.
And school should then not cooperate with ICE?
I cannot imagine having a child taken from their parents while they trusted that child to be in a kindergarten classroom. And so I do not think it's an appropriate place for families to be torn apart because their child was sent to school to learn as a kindergartner, which is what their right is to do based on what our Supreme Court precedent has said.
Right. So they have to be there. They can be there. There's no illegal reason why they shouldn't be in the schools. I mean, and here he is, he's saying, well, I'm basically not going to let ICE in the schools. I think that's what he was saying here. You know, it'd be tough not to do that. You know, according to ICE,
yes,
they're going in anyway, no matter what you say. But going after the children is just shocking, absolutely shocking to me. My head can't wrap around this idea.
Exactly.
Why would they be going to schools and talking in elementary school? My God, kindergarten.
It's absolutely out of bounds. It shouldn't be a part of this at all.
Yeah.
You know, to start all this deportation, you know, day one, just, you know, let's send in the troops. Let's, you know, secure the border. Let's start rousting people up and putting them on planes. And this is what's happening. I mean, here's the fallout. Going into kids' schools and, you know, just marching in and
scaring
the hell out of them
for damn life
and taking them away.
Unbelievable. I mean, this is their own government. This will impress them for a long period of time. And this is just as unsettling in Newark, New Jersey. Officials demanded answers after ICE raided a business there. Let's check out 139 here. Let's look.
Yeah, local officials, Andrea, are outraged. The mayor calling what happened here in Newark yesterday, quote, unconstitutional, saying that ICE agents arrived at the local business without a warrant. During that press conference, we also just heard from Amy Torres, who represents an immigrants' rights organization that responded to reports of the raid. She says members of her organization organization arrived just as the ICE agents were leaving, and she recounted what her organization heard in terms of what happened during the raid. Take a listen.
ICE walked in like it was their empire's own conquered land. They were heavily armed. There was no prior announcement. They were blocking off entrances and exits. They were scrambling up delivery ramps. They were banging down bathroom doors to make sure no one was hiding inside. And most importantly, as the mayor said, they did all of this without being unable to produce a single name or a single warrant.
That is just, in this case, they didn't have warrants. In Chicago, they had fake warrants if it wasn't actually ICE that visited an elementary school there. And now these guys didn't have warrants, but they went in and raided a business. Gestapo?
Hello.
Brown shirts? What are we talking about here?
Right. It's come to that.
Wow.
And it's not stopping.
No, it's not stopping. Oh, my gosh. So I don't know where they're going to go with this. This is just outrageous, and it's unthinkable, and it shouldn't happen in the United States. My God. This blows my mind. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. It blows my mind.
Well, I hope the Republicans in Congress, pick up their phones and get a hold of Donald Trump and see. Oh, yeah. They're not going to do that.
No, they're not going to do that.
They can't go up against him.
No.
Nope.
Nope. This is what was planned. This was what was promised. And
no guardrails.
Again, a lot of these people keep repeating over and over again that this is a mandate. The voters mandated that this happen. It wasn't a mandate. He lost the popular vote. Basically, again, he won, but, he didn't get the majority of votes. That's right. What I'm saying.
Right.
So it's...
Yeah, he got 48 or 49% of the vote totals.
And then independent.
Yeah, independents and Democrats.
Right. Accumulated. They got more votes. But this isn't a mandate. This isn't something they have to do. It's funny, even though Biden won by more votes, it was never a mandate. The voters never mandate anything for the Democrats. Right. They can't do anything. They shouldn't be able to do anything. No mandates. But when the Republicans get in, oh, my God, it's so important. So important.
It's a mandate.
Yeah.
Okay. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on handcrafted Verlo Mattress. Check them out on Madison's East Side or West Side, or go to verlo.com. We are going to take a quick
We're going to go out. Into our original studio, return there, and we've got a story from Greg Palast talking about votes that were challenged in Wisconsin, eventually weren't counted.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Take this crazy pad, man. It's a mad pad.
We're back in the mad pad.
Yes, we are.
It's nice.
A mad scramble back to the mad pad from one studio to another. We're bouncing around a little bit.
Apologize to everybody who had to deal with that. I swore a lot, but that's just what happens when I get tense.
Flustered.
Yeah, flustered.
Just flustered a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Hey, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, about 15 minutes, Jason Ilstrup is here from Downtown Madison Incorporated.
All right.
Be talking about what they're up to and what's happening downtown here.
So we don't have Brittany here?
I don't think Brittany is back today.
From Florida, tomorrow, right? I think she's coming back.
All right, sounds good.
She just wanted to have a little more fun in the snow that we don't have.
All right.
Yeah, down in Florida. But our weather today looks okay. It's going to warm up to a high near 40. Right now, still 20 degrees here.
We could call it a winter a go-go, couldn't we?
Winter a go-go. You got it.
Reporter Greg Palast has an interesting report. For the first time, individual voters could challenge others.
What?
Kamala Harris would have gained 3,000, or no, 3.565 million more votes.
That's different.
Winning Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia with 286 electoral votes.
What do you mean, challenging?
These calculations are precise without voter suppression tactics, in other words, challenges to people's votes. Kamala would have won. Why don't we listen to this cut from Greg Palast? He was on with Tom Hartman. Listen to this.
So these are calculations I would do, and I have done for federal courts. So we had, are you ready for this? According to the Elections Assistance Commission, the official numbers, we had 4,776,706 voters purged from the voter rolls wrongly. And I'm not making this up. I had the guys from that work with the Microsoft and Amazon go through every single purge name in two states, Georgia and Wisconsin. We took those two states. And we found, for example, in Georgia, that 198,000 voters, we actually have their names and addresses, were wrongly removed from the voter rolls. And you'll be shocked, overwhelmingly, voters of color. And in Wisconsin, almost every voter removed by the purge was either a black voter in Milwaukee or a student in Madison.
Wow.
We had this brand new business this year. This brand new business this year of vigilante voter challenges. We talked about that on the air, where for the first time, an individual voter like Greg Palast can say, Tom Hartman does not live in Portland. He shouldn't be allowed to vote. This is new. 1,317,000 voters were challenged by the beginning of August.
So you might want to check out Greg Palast's website and look into that a little bit more. I tried to find some of the names, a list of names. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything like that, so I don't know where he found that list or how Microsoft and Amazon helped out, at least parsing through those lists. But anyway, this is what Greg Palast has come up with, and they focused on black voters in Milwaukee and students right here in Madison, the capital city.
Huh.
Yeah. And all I had to do was, this was a year where they came up with a system where they could challenge people's votes in mass quantity. It's not like they're standing in a polling place looking at you saying, I'm going to challenge your vote because I don't think you're a citizen. It's not like that. They can just go in and challenge hundreds and thousands of votes all at once. And they have to look into it or at least take them out and not count them for a period of time. I can't really explain it. I can't explain it because even if they took them out for a period of time, they'd have to put them in, count them again,
yes,
and include them. But that apparently didn't happen, so I have no explanation. This is Greg Palast's report on with Tom Hartman, and I tend to believe Palast, he's been out there a long time, has some great investigations.
To check that out. Yeah. At his website, is it Greg Palast, yep, with two L's?
No,
what?
Just one L.
Okay.
P-A-L-A-S-T.
S-T, okay.
All right.
All right, we will dig a little deeper there.
Felt like I was spelling out Nestle. N-E-S-T-L-E-S.
Nestle's makes the very best.
Chocolate.
Okay, if you're really old, you know what we're doing.
Damn. You're right. Okay. That's terrible. That's terrible that we have to do something like that. Okay, let's get to this. This is Media World. And what we're going to do is not play the Media World song at this point. I got to tell you this. Scientists say artificial intelligence, AI, has crossed a critical red line and has actually replicated itself. That's right.
What? Replicated the itself?
AI intro.
Really?
Boom. I don't have that right now, John.
Oh, okay.
I was with the scramble.
That's fine. In a new study, researchers from China said successful self-replication under no human assistance is the essential step for AI to outsmart humans and is an early signal for rogue AIs. Yikes. Wow. All right. Rogue AI typically refers to artificial intelligence systems that develop a degree of self-awareness or autonomy and then work counter to human interests. So let's listen to Feature AI Short. Can you play that one? Not yet, right? We don't have any of this.
You gotta, stuff. you gotta tell me when you add in new songs. Otherwise,
well,
I thought
I told you that I added two AI short features. Mm. So, but I'm you know, it's okay. Early in the morning.
One day, AI took over the world. This war between humans and machines never ends. If this goes on, humanity will be wiped out.
I've been waiting for you.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what happens when AI replicates itself. Help us all. This is good news at all. You know, it's frightening stuff.
No, it's not good news at all. You know, it's already.
They have these fan-based trailers that they put out, like Terminator 10, you know? Mm. And that's where I got this from, where they come back from the future to stop AI from being developed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It is coming up 29 past the hour. We'll check out the Midwest Farm Report. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Jason Ilstrup from Downtown Madison Incorporated.
John Gordy in the morning. As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Liquid Lawyer, the product to turn to when your liquid plumber overcharges you.
Have we ever done that one before? Wow. All right. John Gordy in the morning.
Jason Ilstrup joins us now from downtown Madison. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. How are you, John and Gordy?
We're doing fine. We're a little crazy here this morning. A couple of technical issues, but we're beyond all that.
And the fact that we're under a dictator now. You know, I mean, it's the first realization. First time in the morning anyone has said that. We are under dictatorship. All right, now let's get to more of the stuff that's happening locally.
Yes, tell us what's happening locally here at downtown Madison. Jason, we were talking off air about State Street, you know, right outside our studios here, and we go down the street occasionally, of course. And
we take a walk down there. Right?
Seeing a few empty places. I was just wondering, is that normal for this time of year to see some turnover in businesses?
It is. I will say, though, I could be your liquid lawyer. I was a lawyer at one point.
Were you?
I no longer have my license. I wasn't disbarred or anything.
No.
Okay. But I am no longer a lawyer, so you can pay me virtually nothing for legal advice that isn't actually worth anything.
Just buy a drink, right?
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
The liquid lawyer.
Well, exactly. we may have to call on you, you know. These are trying times.
They are trying times. So State Street. State Street is a really fun street here in Madison, right? I mean, it connects the Capitol. It connects the university. It's the heart of Wisconsin. We like to call it Wisconsin's Main Street. But you ask questions about the vacancies that are on the State Street. It is an organic street. There's no question about it. There are businesses going in and out at all times, particularly this year, this time of the year, I should say, because, you know, business is a little bit less in the winter. And so some of those businesses that maybe were on the margins may be leaving. But right now we're at 9% vacancy on State Street. It's slightly higher than we normally would want, but just above sort of 2019, which is a number pre-COVID that we look at, right? COVID changed a lot, right? A lot happened on State Street and really was honestly a widow maker for many of these locally owned businesses.
Yeah.
But we're seeing a lot come back, and particularly in the restaurant and retail section. It's been really fun to see the new businesses coming back downtown. So overall, generally things are good. There are a few pockets where we see more vacancies, and I think people start to freak out a little bit, but certainly the street is still healthy. We would, of course, love to be closer to about 5, 6, 7%, but we're well on our way.
Well, this is kind of a red flag moment for downtown Madison, isn't it? I mean, when you start seeing these businesses moving like this, that there is some kind of problem either affording leases for these buildings and businesses not being able to pay those kinds of prices for leases. Is there something in the works that can help these businesses stay here, local businesses? And retail, I believe that's really what you're kind of seeking out, isn't it? Retail businesses, not bars, not liquor licenses, and not more restaurants, but maybe some retail outlets, right?
Yeah, retail is the trickiest right now on storefront. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of national trends that are really changing everything. So Madison is not immune to those. Pre-COVID, 25% of all retail transactions nationwide were going to be online, on e-commerce. Because of COVID and people being at home and using more e-commerce, it's now a third of all retail transactions this year will be online. That's a trillions of dollar difference. And so it is very difficult for retailers anywhere in the country, but particular in Madison. I would actually argue the Madison retailers on State Street are doing pretty well. 80% of the businesses within on State Street and the Capitol Square are locally owned. They have good revenues. They saw a good season this year. It was a good holiday season this year. It was a tricky holiday season, though, because Thanksgiving and Christmas were as close as they could possibly be.
Yeah.
And so those retailers lost a bit of week. So what we do is we try to obviously recruit new retail or anyone to come into these storefronts. But our real goal is to drive people downtown, right? Yeah. We want to get people downtown, get them on the street, whether or not it's for a festival like the Night Market or Cars on State or whatever that looks like, to get them down here to patronize those local places. Because again, 80%, these are our neighbors that own Anthology, that own August, that own Soap Opera. These are institutions in our city that are owned by our neighbors, and we need to support them.
Talking with Jason Ullstrip here from downtown Madison. If you'd like to give us a call, 608-879-8255, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Jason, I want to ask you about business, the business environment of offices. And is there a return to the offices from people working at home? How's that going?
Well, certainly that has changed significantly since COVID. There is a new normal. For the last year or two, we've seen trends through tracking based on people's key-ins, parking numbers. We sort of know who's coming in and out of downtown. Mm-hmm. The new normal in a downtown like downtown Madison, where we have a significant amount of remote capable employees, right, folks that can work from home, they're coming back, but they're coming back 3 days a week. And it's usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday morning like this, you don't see as many folks. Friday, we see a backfill coming in from tourists that are coming into town even in the winter. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is almost just like normal. And we've seen that in the vacancy rates. And the vacancy rates right now are at 12%. That's four quarters in a row at 12%. That's a little bit higher than we've normally seen in Madison, about 9, 10%. But it's about 8 to 9 points better than the national average. The national average is 20 to 21%. So why are we doing well? A couple of reasons. One, we never overbuilt office here in downtown. We have about 4.5 to 5 million square feet. That's the equivalent of the Sears Tower, right? One building in Chicago. Granted, it's a 100-story building, but we just don't have that much. Second, we have natural demand generators, namely the Capitol, right? So you have associations, you have lobbyists, you have law firms that really... Honestly, it's paramount for them to be close to the Capitol. And then third, there's something called the flight to quality. So we're seeing a lot of new tenants coming in, small tenants, these small companies, these startup companies that are coming downtown because they want to be in quality buildings like the buildings that are owned by Mullins or ULI or Fiore Company or Hovde. And then you have flight to quality and location. And that's what downtown Madison has in spades, particularly these new young employees, these young entrepreneurs like recovery.com, just a block away here at the top of Straight. Their employees want to be able to go downstairs to go to Ian's Pizza. They want to be able to go to the Sylvie after a show or to the Overture Center. They want to meet up with their friends for a drink after. And that can happen in spades here in downtown Madison. So generally, the office market is doing quite well in downtown Madison.
So I know there are companies that do lease sections of buildings. I can't remember what they're called, but there are small businesses within buildings.
Incubators or something, or
an office share program.
Office share program. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of buildings downtown that are just like that, and that's a fantastic idea. But you mentioned that housing has increased a lot in downtown Madison. At the same time, first level is usually retail or business.
Yes,
and so you are increasing the business the capability of, you know, office space.
Absolutely. So with all the new development that's happening downtown within Madison Central Business Improvement District, which is roughly the Capitol Square, Inner and Outer Loops, and State Street, and a few sort of blocks off of it, in 2000, there were about 215 separate business locations, so sort of rentable spaces on the first floor. Now there are over 375. Mm. So these buildings, there's been a lot more development and a lot more that's come in. So overall, the number of businesses downtown has gone up, but the availability is higher. Okay. And so for us, we just, again, try to get as many people down here as possible. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of ways really to do that. One, residents. Right. If you have residents, a significant resident base downtown,
right
now it's about 40,000 residents. That's double cities like Tampa Bay, cities like Cleveland, which
great
are
walk-in traffic
much
stuff.
Correct.
Just, yeah.
You got the office workers, which we do pretty well here, about 52,000 office workers. You have a lot of events in downtown. The farmers market on a good Saturday in July gets over 25,000 people that come downtown.
Yeah.
The top of state, mainly because of Farmers Market, is the number one used pedestrian intersection in the entire state of Wisconsin. And then last, tourism. Tourism has been up significantly. The team at Destination Madison has done a great job. We got $315 million in economic spending in 2023, and we know that 2024 will come up. That's our goal, is to bring all of these folks, this mix of these different folks. We're not dependent on just residents. We're not dependent on just office workers. We're not dependent on just tourists. If you build that sort of multi-based downtown, it's much more likely to be successful.
I got a couple of suggestions, okay?
I love it. Absolutely.
Get Costco.
Is this the liquid lawyer that's answering?
Yes.
Or is yes?
No, this is, get Costco with their 800 tenants above.
Perfect.
Okay.
I'm a member myself, yes.
And one more idea, and I don't know. See, you want to support the businesses. Give them some kind of income so they can afford the leases downtown here. Wouldn't it be great to just have a map in one of the newspapers and have websites of each one of those businesses on State Street? You know, just a map of State Street, the businesses and their websites, in order for people who do sit at home, they can order online from all the local businesses. That would create a revenue stream into their businesses and help them afford the leases to have these great spaces on State Street open for walk-in traffic.
Well, two thoughts. One, it's such a good idea we do that now. We don't always publish it out in the newspaper, but yes.
Well, I'm reading the wrong newspapers.
But the good thing is, look, you hit on actually a really powerful trend. The businesses, particularly the retail businesses that are successful in anywhere in downtowns, but downtown Madison in particular, let's go with Formagination, right? An institution. Ken and the team have been doing a great job on Carroll Street for years. That business is called omnichannel. And what does that mean? It means they're selling goods through various ways, right? So it's not just the good where you go in and you go to the cheese counter, you buy a Pleasant Ridge Reserve, and you walk away. They will do banqueting. They will do a huge amount of e-commerce. It's a whole experience when you walk into that store, but they have multiple ways for revenue to go through there. You also see August Shoes does the same thing. They'll use their shoe store as a marketing place, honestly, to drive up online sales. I would say more than half of their goods are probably going out the back door, right, through shipping, through UPS, through FedEx, than they are going out through the front door, through the main trends. And so you've hit on something that's very successful right now. And the most successful retail locations, like Soap Opera, like August Shoes, like Formagination, are doing those things right now.
You are our liquid lawyer.
Jason, I want to ask you about the John Nolan corridor
and the
developments planned for the future. Where do those stand now?
Yeah, the Madison Lakeway project is one of the most important civic projects happening right now. I mean, this is a huge project that'll connect the waterfront to the downtown, to the east side, and to the south side. Mm-hmm. Something that, you know, I'll just say, maybe we made a mistake by putting a six-lane highway right through the downtown. We got very lucky. A lot of downtowns in America. Hartford literally drove a tiered highway right through the middle there downtown, through neighborhoods, right? That devastated neighborhoods. Mm. That didn't happen as much here in Madison, so we have easier connections to make. This Lakeway project is fantastic. There's the city of Madison and the Lakeway partners are a public-private partnership that are doing excellent work with a company called Sasaki, one of the leading landscape architecture and design firms in the country. This plan is super dynamic and one that will absolutely help us meet our competitive advantage, which is being on an isthmus, we still can't really connect to Lake Monona. I mean, I run the Downtown Association, and I can't figure out how to get from your studio without crossing the hairball intersection into Law Park or into the causeway. Yeah. This work will begin in earnest in 2025. Mm-hmm. The bad news is, in 2025, later on this year, the road needs to be redone. The bridges need to be redone, John Nolan. So it'll go down to one lane of traffic for about a year as they do this work, but that's the prep work to build the space for the first phase of the Lake Monona Waterfront Project. We couldn't be more excited about this project. It's going to be so impactful, create economic strength and vibrancy in the downtown.
Environmentally, too, because it's going to control runoff, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. They've spent significant resources working with UW scientists, limnologists, to really ensure that we have the best water quality possible. The folks at Clean Lakes Alliance, James Tai, have done excellent work on this. Look, we're only as good as our lakes, right? Yeah. We're here, and if our lakes could go in the wrong direction with too much phosphorus, it's not good for anybody.
That's right.
Just a minute or so left here. We're going to talk about, as you were coming in, we were chatting off air about the 9,000 units, housing units coming downtown. How's that going to impact things?
It will impact it significantly, right? The city of Madison, according to the Department of Administration of the state of Wisconsin, is going to add about 95,000 residents by 2050. We actually think that number is conservative. So everyone that always says, well, what's this new building going up? Do we really need the housing? Absolutely. We have the highest per capita of Gen Z new employees of any city in the country. They're moving here in spades. Epic's going to hire 2,500 folks this year. 90% of them are ages 22 to 26. They want to live downtown.
They do. Yeah.
So there's 9,000 units in the works. You can go to our website, www.downtownmadison.org. There's a development tracker up in the right-hand corner. Check out all of the different projects that are happening. We need more housing now. We need more housing as much as we can get.
Yep. Certainly do.
Jason Elstrup, thank you for being with us today. Yeah. And again, the website?
www.downtownmadison.org. Thank you, John. Thank you,
Jimmy. Yeah. We'll keep you on retainer as our legal liquid lawyer, okay?
It won't cost you much because you won't get much in return.
Okay, very good. Okay. Back with Leftovers on John and Gordy after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
Sometimes leftovers are the best part of the meal. Right?
Okay, listen to this.
Well, hang on just a moment, John, because I have something to say. Yeah? What? What do you got there? That's all the stuff we didn't get to.
It's an encyclopedia.
It sounded
of
like
leftovers.
It sounded like a bad tape edit there.
Had a few of those myself.
That happens. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress and Maddie the Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side, or go to verlo.com. Be sure to ask about their lifetime comfort guarantee. And ask him about Maddie the Mattress and when he's going to appear on John and Gordy.
Or she.
Or she. Or whatever. Okay. Over to you, John Peter.
All right. Well, we have Elon Musk in the news again.
What?
Following that salute that he famously made twice in a row, he went on a little broadcast to the Germans.
Oh, that's right. He's talking to the German Nazi Party, right?
Yeah. And that's true.
It's absolutely true.
It's a right-wing group.
That's what they do.
And they are right. They are even further right than the right-wing group that has challenged the German hierarchy there. But anyway, Musk's surprise speech comes less than a week after he was accused of the Sieg Heil style salute. Now I'm reading that verbatim. This is how the media treats this stuff, right? Making a Sieg Heil style salute.
Hey, it rhymes.
Style? You know, I'm thinking style?
Style.
What?
No,
what
it
is
was
that?
A salute. It was
Second City TV a long time ago, they used to have a bit where they'd say, "Well, that was very Sieg Heil-ish or like, Zieg Heil like. You know, adding that style and like doesn't really work, you know? I mean, it was a Zieg Heil salute, and we know it is now after the speech. We really definitely know it is. And I do have a cut 144, cue that up. Projected onto a massive screen at the campaign event for right-wing political party Alternative für Deutschland, the AfD, Musk told supporters on Saturday, it's okay to be proud to be German. Let's listen to this here.
I'm very excited for the AfD, and I think you are really the best hope for Germany. I think something that is just very important is that people take pride in Germany and being German. This is very important. It's okay to be proud to be German. This is a very important principle. It's okay. It's good to be proud of German culture, German values, and not to lose that.
No.
In some sort of, multiculturalism that dilutes everything.
A Zieg Heil here and there.
A
you know?
Focus on past guilt, and we need to move beyond that. Children should not be guilty of the sins of their parents, or even let alone their parents, their great grandparents, maybe even. And you should be optimistic and excited about a future for Germany.
Yes, right. So Musk drew fire last month when he publicly announced support for this group, AfD, Germany's third largest party, which critics accused of racism, xenophobia, and Islamophobia. Nice group to be in. Only the AfD can save Germany, Musk wrote. So, yeah.
Got a text here from Mark who says, like the Blues Brothers, I hate Illinois Nazis and all Nazis.
There you
Nazis
go.
And the Blues Brothers. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, let's take a look here of what Trump has done so far. Okay.
Well, we got a couple of minutes.
Okay. Trump. Well, that's right.
Can we get it all in?
I need a day. Yeah. Trump's Justice Department asked the Supreme Court to freeze four pending cases implicating the environment or student debt as the new administration considers reversing the regulatory decisions underlying those lawsuits. Trump blocked global aid recipients from telling patients about abortion, a move that could weaken reproductive health worldwide. Trump signed an order to limit women's access to contraception and abortion, repealing Biden-era policies that encourage federal agencies to support and expand the availability of such services. I don't know. Did anybody hear about that one? Trump announces plans for the U.S. to put stars and stripes on the planet Mars. You've probably heard that one.
I had not heard that one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Well, you know,
can't wait
Space
for that.
Force is on it. The crazy over-the-top pastor who gave the benediction at Trump's inaugural, remember, you've seen that video?
Yeah.
Well, he launched his own meme coin. These are grifters, man.
We should launch a John and Gordy coin, shouldn't
should we?
Should we? Yeah, why not? Everyone else is doing it.
We could
why
do that.
Not?
We should
sure.
do that. We'll workshop that.
Okay. The State Department has suspended processing passport applications seeking the gender marker of X and will only process and issue passports for people identifying as male or female and will no longer issue U.S. passports with the X marker. They said that guidance regarding previous issued X sex markers passports is forthcoming. But here's the thing. My son told me this. He said, you know what? They can't apply for new passports because they had the old passport with the X gender marker on it, and they're not recognizing that, so they're kind of stuck. In other words, they're stuck. They're prisoners of their own country. They can't leave the country.
They can't change their passport and get a new one.
Yeah, and get out of the country.
Okay.
They're stuck here.
All right. There'll be a lot more
they're
tomorrow
prisoners.
When we talk to Jim Santel, our attorney. Yes,
we'll ask him about this.
Yes, we're going to go over a lot with him. Stephanie Miller is next. That's it for us. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.